I've learned how to have courage over the years, which is another thing that I bring to my practice. Not doing things that you really want is usually because you're fearful. And we all fear so much, but we don't identify it necessarily as fear. And so I've had to learn how to have courage. And I think that that's what it takes. And so continuously learning and putting yourself out in the world and doing what I tell my clients all the time when I give them field work and they're like, I can't do that. And I'm like, well, you can try to do that if you want to. And the thing about it is, fake it till you make it. And I really believe in that.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels, stories of brave and unapologetic women, 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. Hello, hello, hello. Amazing listeners, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels podcast. I am so happy that you are joining me today, and I am really excited about my guest. It is a friend of mine, Barbara Healy, who at 70 years young is pretty darn amazing. We're going to talk to her, and I'll share our interview in a few moments. But I do want to say that I am so happy that you're here. As you know, Reinvention Rebels really was started to inspire women 50 to 90 to really showcase what some amazing women are doing to reinvent themselves as inspiration for other women. But the reality is so many people are listening that aren't even 50 to 90 and women. All kinds of listeners from all different backgrounds and experiences, men and women, people in all different age ranges. And the reality is that the topics we talk about are really universal. And it's also true that you can reinvent yourself at any age or any stage. So I'm saying all that to say, I am so glad that you are here with me today. Before we get started and I introduce Barbara, I want to share a brief review from Rocky. And Rocky is awesome. And I just want to take a moment first to tell you about Rocky, because Rocky has an awesome podcast. And I love to give a high five to other independent podcasters. She's got a great podcast called Wild Nights with Rocky Powell. And if you're looking for a hysterical, laugh out loud podcast that will bring you joy, you got to check hers out. And I've linked to it in the show notes for easy access. But this is what Rocky said about Reinvention Rebels. Inspiring and insightful. The host is great at getting her guests to feel comfortable being their most authentic selves. An inspiring podcast for listeners at any age, which goes to show you, again, what we were just talking about, any age or any stage. So Rocky, thank you so much. I really appreciate you leaving that review. And I invite all of you to write a brief review at Apple Podcasts, because it makes it much easier for people to find the podcast. You know, there's the 2 million podcasts in the world, so they're hard to find. So I really appreciate that so much. All right, so let's get down to my guest today. I'm so excited. And we had the best conversation about resilience, staying healthy, tuning into our mission and our vision as we navigate life, and so many other things. So for your listening pleasure, thanks for tuning in. My guest today, Barbara Healy, is a dear friend, a former colleague, even my former boss. She's also someone who knows people. She gets people. And as a trusted advisor, executive coach, and facilitator, she helps people show up and shine their brightest lights. With over 30 years of experience across industries spanning startups, mid-stage, Fortune 500 giants, and nonprofits, Barbara guides leaders to take their impact to the next level at any stage of development. Her proven strength in facilitating and coaching individuals to become better leaders, think more strategically, create high-performing teams, advance future engaged cultures, and deliver powerful presentations at multiple conferences, organizations, and associations nationally has earned her praise as a game changer. While she's worked in a range of organizations over the years, this 70-year-young reinvention rebel has happily reinvented herself in a new way that works for her. She has found immense joy and satisfaction as a small business owner. This lifelong learner and vibrant, active soul has found her reinvention sweet spot, finding an energizing and engaging balance between work and family. She embodies the idea that we can unapologetically reimagine life, thrive, and create meaningful connections as we age. Barbara Healy, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Thank you, Wendy. It's a pleasure to be here with you tonight.
I am excited. And we go way back, Barbara, to the 90s.
Ever. We have known each other for, I'm guessing, we're about 25 years. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't it make me feel like, well, we are getting old, but in the best possible way.
I know. And the fact that we can stay connected is what's like so important, you know?
It is. And I'm just delighted that you're joining me to be in conversation about this idea of reinvention at any age and any stage. And you are a great example of that. So I've got a host of questions to ask you. And, you know, our listeners, even though this podcast is focused on women 50 to 90, we have listeners of all ages and stages.
Great.
Wonderful. Men and women, all kinds of interesting people, because the things we talk about are very universal.
Yeah.
So I know that you're going to inspire a lot of people today. So I would like to start, Barbara, and think about this. I've been detailing how many times I reinvented myself in my life, including my most recent one as a podcast host, and you have been there for many of my reinventions years. I know you know them very well. And I know that you've reinvented yourself many times also. I think that's really true for so many women. That's often just what we do. Not that's not true for men too, but women, you know, we're creative. We like to change it up and find what really inspires us. So I'd love to know about how you reinvented yourself recently. How old were you and how did that unfold in your most recent reinvention?
I would have to say that as an older person, that I reinvented myself at the age of 56 and then continuously since then, and particularly again when I was 64 and now living in a new area doing what I'm doing now. It's a really long story, but I have to give you some context, which will explain how I think anyone can continuously reinvent themselves. So I'll tell you a few things. I'm going to go back a little bit. I was doing some work. I was working for a modeling agency in my very early 20s, and I went to university, a big university, and then to the Fashion Institute of Technology, got married to my hippie boyfriend, and was divorced only a year later.
Finding yourself.
First reinvention. And then I with my Fashion Institute, I worked in retail and realized that I can only do something that I'm really passionate about. And it wasn't there for me. So I decided to go get tested with a company called Johnson O'Connor. And they test aptitudes. They're still in business. They've been in business for probably 100 and something years. And what they figure out and help you figure out is what are your natural abilities? So right away, I understood that being able to coach people into learning about themselves was going to be a really big part of my life in some way, shape, or form. They told me that I had a real aptitude for healthcare, music and healthcare. Now, I wasn't doing either one. And healthcare, well, I'm not going to be a nurse because I faint at the sight of blood. I actually have a syndrome that some women have, and I actually do faint at the sight of blood.
Literally.
And they really made me understand that your aptitudes are so important because you can have the same aptitudes at the age of 70 that you had when you were 20. Which is, I think, something for people to really keep in mind when they think about it. I decided, since they showed me that healthcare was going to be an aptitude, that I was going to go on a journey to figure out how to get into healthcare. And I scored high on inductive reasoning, but very low on structural visualization. So I wasn't apt to go back to school and take anatomy courses. Geometry was never my thing.
Oh, me either. That was just horrible.
So in 1982, I actually took the position in San Francisco at a hospital, St. Francis Hospital, as the marketing director. And you have to laugh if you think back to 1982. And for all your listeners that are listening, there was nothing called healthcare marketing in 1982. And the doctors that I worked for thought that my job was to look through the telephone book and cold call people. That's what they thought of marketing. So anyway, I was still excited to be there because I was passionate about what they were doing, that they were making a contribution. And I moved from there to work in wellness and prevention very early on for a company called Stay Well. And I started teaching facilitated training. And then they also had self-training. And they also sold executive physicals for executives and companies. And I would try to sell to hospitals and to executives. So I started meeting with a lot of CEOs, and the CEOs wanted to know all the data on why they should pay for preventive health for their employees. And there was no data then. So again, it was a very progressive thing I was doing, and it was a real uphill battle. But I moved from there to when I moved to the Seattle area to working in one of the very first, if not the first, HMOs, and then it became a PPO. And I didn't enjoy it. And I said, well, I love healthcare. Why am I not passionate about this? So I went, and this is an important lesson too, and sought out my mentor, one of my mentors. And one of them who I spoke to was an administrator, a CEO at a hospital. And he said, Barbara, the reason that you're not excited about what you're doing is that HMOs and PPOs are really just about the money. And it's not about the patient anymore. And I went, wow, that's why it's not working for me. So after that, I learned, lesson learned, not all of healthcare is about passion and helping others.
Right.
So I kind of took a little drift, and I founded and became an executive director of a nonprofit helping children in school, children that were at risk. And I got a lot of satisfaction out of it. And again, I was there with my passion and moved. And then I went to work for a small consulting firm in New Haven, which you may remember, Wendy, because that's where I met you.
Oh, I do recall something like that way back in the past.
And then I took a job at a regional bank, and I became the vice president of corporate learning and development. Okay, lesson learned. I'm in the whole system and I don't like it. I was not loving the corporate world. I didn't feel the passion again. And so I left about 10 years later. So sometimes lesson learned can take a long time.
It can. But I always feel like those things like help us along our path, though, that even though, right, sometimes those experiences end up being painful or uncomfortable, or we don't like them ultimately, but that down the road, I can see how something like that has helped me ultimately.
Well, I think that's a really, really important point. And that's what happened when I went to the bank. It ended up really helping me in my reinvention as an older woman now. And I also went back to school while I was working for the nonprofit and had two children that I think were like 7 and 9 years old. And I was working full time, went back to get my master's degree. And I can't tell you how many times I thought, I can't do this. This is too much. I'm just not going to do it. Again, I forced myself to stay with it and it helped later. Again, that's so much a part of sometimes doing things that aren't exactly right, yeah. But just remember.
I also think that just to say this, that this notion of, I think I can't do it, but I'm going to keep doing it, that idea of persistence is really important because I think that sometimes I've given up on things. Or it felt too hard. Maybe I felt like I didn't want to commit to it so fully. So I think there's something to be said, especially when it comes to reinvention, this idea of persistence that I'm going to not just give up really quickly, but I'm going to go a little further. And maybe it doesn't mean, you know, maybe I have to tell myself I need to just go a little further and keep going and then a little further than that. So I think that mindset is a really important part of reinventing ourselves.
I do too. And it's amazing because I actually, that you picked the word persistence, because I say that that's my middle name now is persistence. And as a child, if I didn't like doing something, that's all I wanted to do was leave it. And sometimes I would. And I have just become the most persistent person. And I do think that that's a lifelong lesson for folks. And I also think in order to feed that persistence, it's really important to always have a personal vision and mission. And when I first started doing that, and I was not even at the nonprofit yet, I just made it up. I'm like, I want to be working in a nonprofit, helping children, and I want to bring up my kids a certain way. And I went on and on and on. And I used to look at it every day. I had it in my notebook. It was written then. And then I put it away and I forgot about it. And several years later, I found it and I had achieved everything that was in that vision. So as you know, I with my coaching and my leadership development that I do with folks now, I really offer to my clients to have a personal leadership vision and mission. And I think that helps with tying it back to persistence, because then you have something to measure it against.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so you're saying, oh, well, do I want to leave the bank? Well, it turned out that I wanted to leave the bank. I was getting sick. I was having asthma attacks. I don't ever do that. I was having heart palpitations. I'm like, okay, you also have to listen to the universe. And what's the universe saying to you? And was it feeding my values that were in my vision and mission? No.
So yeah, I think that is so important to tune into this idea. And I know there's lots of different ways to kind of get to that. I'm kind of curious for you, when it came to your vision and mission, was it something that you just came to you out of the blue? Was it something that you noodled over for a while? Is it something that you kind of wrote about every day for a while? Like, how intentional were you about the process of kind of creating that vision and mission way back when?
I was intentional because I had done so much studying in the leadership arena. And I had come across Stephen Covey, for those of you listening who may have read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is a very old book. And I still use parts of that book in my practice. And one of the things that he taught me through that book was to always have a personal mission. And I said, you know, I'm going to try that. And yes, I tried to be very thoughtful and intentional. It took me a while to write it, and particularly then to get it down to something just easy, breezy, that you can, you know, look at often and remember. And I think that that is a really important thing for all of us. And then to redo it on a regular basis, because things change. However, if you mix it with your strengths and your aptitudes, and I knew what my aptitudes were, then you can continue to redo it. That's part of reinventing yourself, to go back to what your passion and your aptitudes and natural talents are, and then have a vision about where you want to be in your life.
Yeah, and I think that says so much about, you know, things change over time. And the things that we might be passionate about, even if maybe we have the same aptitudes, right, that can last a lifetime, our passions may change. So this notion of, I'm going to kind of step back every so often, really think about my life holistically.
Yes.
And kind of assess, where am I at? What's inspiring me right now? Is what's inspiring me as I'm older different than when I was 40 or 50, right? Because I think that, you know, certainly our circumstances change.
Right.
In whatever way that may manifest. So I really like the intentionality of what you're doing and how you've weaved this through this idea of multiple reinventions.
And, you know, then where I took it was I started my business and left the bank when I was 56. And I've always thought of myself as a late bloomer, which is also, I think, kind of a nice way to think about yourself.
Yes.
Because then you can be 90 and you're still blooming.
Exactly.
And at 64, I was beginning to feel a little stuck. And so what I did was I decided I needed to go do something really different to keep myself motivated. And so I took a year and studied positive psychology.
Oh.
I got certified in positive psychology with a Harvard professor through Kropalo. And it was something that was life-changing for me. So at 64, I'd say I began to reinvent myself again. And part of what we did, I could talk to you for, you know, a year about it, but part of what we did was also be very intentional about writing our stories. Again, redoing our mission, basically. And anyway, positive psychology is based on real science. So it's the art and science of personal wellness, resilience, leadership. And it's not about being happy all the time, but we won't get into all of that right now.
That sounds so like you. Like, this is something I would expect from you, because one of the things I know about you is that you're a lifelong learner and that you are passionate about having new experiences, learning new things, meeting new people, expanding, you know, sort of your boundaries. And it just seems like that's very fitting. I also think that, you know, when we're aging, which obviously is happening to all of us, that sometimes our world is getting smaller.
True.
People, right? People we love pass away, or maybe we're less physically able to do what we often took for granted. That's just sort of how we are. And that, I think that that's hard emotionally to contend with. So if we have this idea of expansion, and that's what I hear you really saying, that I am an expansive person.
Expansive, as well as you mentioned, the continuous learning is I've learned how to have courage over the years, which is another thing that I bring to my practice. And that is that not doing things that you really want, if you have the ability to do it, and you don't always, is usually because you're fearful.
Yes.
And we all fear so much, but we don't identify it necessarily as fear. And I was a very anxious, fearful child, adolescent. Even in my 20s, I was like that. And so I've had to learn how to have courage. And I think that that's what it takes. And so continuously learning and putting yourself out in the world and doing what I tell my clients all the time when I give them field work and they're like, I can't do that. And I'm like, well, you can try to do that if you want to. And the thing about it is, fake it till you make it. And I really believe in that. I really think. I never used to be able to do public speaking at all. I'd get up and my hands would shake and my voice would shake, et cetera, et cetera. And so I just did it over and over and over again. And that's how you get through the fear.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think that courage builds confidence, and it's definitely scary to do things that feel uncomfortable, right? Whatever those, and I know it's different for everyone. We all have our fears or the things that make us like, this is hard. I'd rather not. But I think though that on the other side of that, when we can muster up that courage,
yes,
and when we can see some positive results, even if it's baby steps in that direction,
that's right.
Then that for me reinforces, okay, Wendy, it's not as crazy as you thought. This idea, whatever this idea was that you might have, and you can
do
this.
A podcast on reinventing, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Although interestingly, like I didn't feel scared about that. For some reason, I felt very courageous. Like it was just what I was meant to do. I felt very much like, and it's interesting because so many things I've done with fear, that idea that you're talking about of this fear and not feeling so courageous and then getting more courage as you go. But this is something that for me, I don't know why, maybe because I feel like it's my mission, because like you, I feel like a late bloomer. And literally it took me to 54 to figure out like, what am I here to do? What am I here on this earth to do? And I always looked, you know, sort of enviously at people that knew early on. Like,
me too.
I was like, how come I don't, even in my 30s and 40s, I still kept thinking, what is it I'm meant to do? Because I don't think this is it. And not that I didn't like the jobs I had or I wasn't good at them, but it definitely was not what I came here for.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I know this isn't a coaching session, but I just have to say that knowing you for as many years as I know and the things that you have done, that this really is a great combination of all of your strengths and aptitudes and talents. So there you go.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention ripples are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes. Hey, amazing listeners. Are you feeling a little social? Come join me on social media for a big dose of inspiration. You'll find me on Instagram at Reinvention Rebels. Same thing on Facebook. And also I'm on Twitter at Rebels Reinvent. I look forward to seeing you soon.
When I went back to school, when my kids were young and I was working as a executive director of the nonprofit, I went back to school in organizational development systems and whole systems design. So how do you look at a system the whole, you know, holistically? So when I used to get assignments that where I was consulting, it's hard stuff to do. It's adaptive leadership. It's not technical leadership where you make a list and you cross things off your list.
Yeah.
It's very complex. And I could be so scared to hear what the assignment was. Like, how can you ever do it? And I know you felt like this before. And I know anybody listening to you has felt like that when they were given an assignment or asked to do something. And you're thinking, I could never figure out how to do that.
Yes.
And that's where you have to just say, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to unbundle it. And I'm going to figure out an approach, and I'm not going to be scared to do it. I may feel anxious, and you have to feel your feelings, and you need to. So I'm going to be anxious doing it, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to find how to do it with steps and plans. So I do think that all plays into us who are late bloomers and how we have been lucky to find things that we really love doing after all.
I think that's right. And I also think that when I was younger and I felt that level of anxiety about something, I didn't have the skills to ask for help.
Yes.
I didn't have the voice to, or maybe I couldn't recognize, Wendy, like, you don't even know what you're doing, so why don't you just ask somebody? So sometimes, you know, that fake it till you make it thing, you do, I might do that, but I didn't necessarily do it well. And so, you know, I've had moments where I definitely felt like I was failing, where I didn't feel so confident about it. And then afterward, I would kind of kick myself, like, why didn't I ask for help? Like, why didn't I, you know? And I think that over time, I see so many women that later find their voice or find their voice more strongly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always been there, but I think sometimes we have to tease it out or, you know, just kind of find the right alignment where we can feel comfortable being our true selves. And that can take some time.
It can take some time, and it can also take a lot of failures. And it can take things that may not be failures, because as we spoke about before, you could be doing things that maybe aren't exactly what you want to be doing, but they're really going to help you in the long run. And you may not even know that. So maybe keep your nose to the grind on it, even if it's not the perfect thing for you, as long as you have your vision and you're dealing with your fears and you know that what your aptitudes and your strengths are, and you have a lot of mentors and coaches so that you can, and friends, so that you can ask for help.
I think that what you just said to me is it, which is guides on the side. Who are the guides on the side that we can tap into? And I think that's, I mean, that's true for us at any age, but I certainly think as women reinventing ourselves as we age and coming into our own, you know, really kind of flowering, that it makes such a difference when we ask for help. It makes such a difference when we say, okay, I want to do X, but I don't know how to do X, but what help can I get? Who can help me figure out how to do X? Who can I ask? Can Barbara help me? Or does Barbara know some people I might ask, even if she can't help me?
Exactly. And that kind of relationship-based understanding how to network and how to ask for help is just precious, just absolutely precious. You can, and I like what you said with the guides. I mean, you can even think that on one shoulder, you have your gremlin or gremlins. And those are that's the self-talk where I can't do it. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I should have learned what I wanted to do when I was younger and all of those things. And then on the other side, you have your guides, whether they're real people or they're spiritual, or maybe they're your angels. And I think that those mentors and coaches are a part of that shoulder. So you have to say, okay, how can I change the self-talk? Well, I know, I'll call Wendy and ask her for some advice. Maybe she can help me not think of myself as badly as I'm thinking about this right now.
Yes. Because the reality is no one thinks about us as badly as we think about ourselves. Like, you know, if you ask any of our friends, they would never say the things about us that we can sometimes say to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right? Self-sabotage, the negative self-talk. And I love how you kind of thought about the idea of the guides, that guides show up in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Physical ways, in that spiritual, like I feel like I've got my spiritual guides and angels that I sometimes call on in situations, as well as like physical people I can call up and say, hey, I need help, right? So I think all of that makes a difference. And that makes me think about how as we age, you know, we're dealing with all of these challenges. And one thing I think I've learned to do is to offer myself more grace, to be more forgiving to myself.
I think that's such a great way to describe it, because grace is one of the things that I think I've allowed for myself too. And I think that understanding that self-talk needs to be positive, even though you also want to feel your emotions, and also a way to gain that grace and that kind of self-power is to make sure that you have some kind of a gratefulness practice. And that's been huge for me. I started with a journal where every day I would write down the three things that I'm grateful for. And, you know, I kind of get inconsistent about doing things like that over time. Yes. But I still have my journal, and it's fun to even look back at it. And so now what I do is I actually ask myself three questions in the shower every morning.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Because it doesn't take a lot of time. I mean, you're standing there, you know, getting clean. So the first question is, what am I grateful for right now? And it can be anything. It doesn't have to be a great big thing. It can be, I'm grateful that I actually slept for 7 hours and feel good today. Or I'm grateful that my husband didn't snore. You know, it can be anything,
yes, right?
Right. And then the second question I now ask myself is, what am I looking forward to today? And even though I'm saying you're only asking one for one thing, all things can be, you know, I'm really looking forward to, this morning I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing Wendy and doing this interview tonight. So that was one of my things I was looking forward to. And then my last question, which I've just recently added, which I find to be the hardest one and a very important one to ask yourself is, what am I letting go of today?
Oh, that is powerful.
It is intense and it's powerful. And a lot of times I'm like, okay, I'm letting go of being afraid of the project that I'm working on or anything that's going on in your life. I'm letting go of it today. And that doesn't mean that you're going to totally let go of it either. I mean, it's not like so easy, but at least you're conscious of it. Yeah. So those are my three questions. I think gratefulness, I think positive self-talk, gratefulness, I think meditation, and exercise. Those are things that have helped me and that help me today to stay reinvented and to think about what it is I want to do next. And then to learn to be courageous.
Yeah.
As I mentioned. Yeah.
I completely agree with all of the above. Check. And I do think, going back to this idea of the gratitude practice, that this is everything to me. And I, like you, I've dabbled for years. I kept a gratitude journal and then one day stopped because I got busy and I didn't make it a priority. And more recently, I've started doing it again. And in fact, when I did my very first episode in season one, my guest, Barb Nangle, she is really into a gratitude practice. She's been part of a lot of 12-step programs and really increased her self-awareness. And part of what she always did was this gratitude practice. And it made such a huge difference. And that actually was a catalyst for me to say, you know, I should just start doing this again. And I do it most nights.
I
just said, well, I've got all these little journals, you know, or notepads, notebooks from different places that I collect. And so I just started writing in them and just filling one and I start on another one and just to write it down and sometimes to go back over it.
Yeah.
I think is helpful. And you know, sometimes you're just tired and you just like write just really quickly, but sometimes I write in more of a prose form. I am so grateful for today for these things that happened.
That's great. Wendy.
Because it allowed me to really think differently or whatever it might be. So depending on the day, but I really agree with you about how that makes such a huge difference.
Makes a huge difference. And that also just helps with continuing to stay resilient. And I think that that's what we need, particularly as we age, because your body doesn't feel the same when you get older. I don't care who you are and how much you've exercised.
It's true.
Whether it's your back, I'm not sure we're supposed to be standing on 2 feet and not be on, you know, the floor like my dog or whatever it is. So, you know, those sorts of things show up more as you get older for the majority of us, everybody that I know, that's for sure. And as a matter of fact, when we get together with people that are in our age, everybody starts talking like I used to watch my parents talk. And so the rule is, okay, everybody gets 1 minute to talk about what's bugging them physically, and then we'll move on from there.
I love that. That is so great to put a timer on it because, you know, I mean, you only do so much talking about that, right? It just is. Yeah. And I think that also speaks to this idea as you talk about our bodies and our changing bodies as we age. And I know it's not always what we want, but to me, it brings up this notion of self-acceptance.
Yes.
How can I You know, and gratitude, right? Appreciating that our bodies are able to do what they're able to do. Number one.
Exactly. Right. I often say that. I often my morning gratefulness is I am grateful that my back doesn't hurt this morning.
Yeah.
And I, as I said, I think it really helps you to be resilient. And I've always said to my kids when they were down and out about something, just remember that it's like photography. What you're going through right now is only a picture in time. You know it's going to change. And I think that's really important for us to be able to have some self-acceptance.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know. I guess I'm, you know, I wax philosophical about it and feel like I am more accepting of those things that I cannot control about my body.
Right.
And you know, with what you mentioned too about exercise and meditation and, you know, the proactive things we can do that will help us feel our best really do make a difference if we do them consistently.
They really do. And it's been, there's so much research about how it changes your brain, and you can change your brain at any age. And that is well validated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are so many amazing older people doing amazing things.
Really.
Literally around the world who are right defying this notion. Because I guess the question, you know, for all of us, for anyone listening, for us having this conversation is, you know, there's a narrative about getting older, and certainly a narrative about women, aging women, and what we're capable of it. But how do we change that narrative? Because you can look around, and maybe you have to look a little bit, but you can find amazing examples of women doing extraordinary things that are older.
And more so today than ever before, which is very exciting. But yes, there really is ageism out there. And I've noticed lately that a lot of people who are younger than me just lately have been saying, they must, I don't know, maybe they're Googling my age or something, because I don't walk around. I used to be very proud of talking about my age. And now I don't announce it unless somebody asks, because there is so much ageism. At a happy hour, sitting at a bar and talking to young people. And I have had the experience where if I said how old I was, they wouldn't be interested in talking to me anymore. So I kind of like veer away from that. And it's, ageism is something that older people do, you know, really suffer from. However, lately people have been saying, so when are you going to stop working? And I've heard that question so many times lately. And that's all I can say is, when I stop working. When I don't want to do it anymore, or they don't want me to do it anymore. You know, I love what I do. It keeps my brain energized. I feel like I'm making a contribution. I know I'm making a contribution, and keeps my brain stimulated. And it's fun. It's so much fun. And it's the best of any of my jobs that I've ever had at this age. What I'm doing is so much fun.
And that's everything that we should, you know, sometimes we've obviously had jobs that weren't so fun, or we've had jobs because we had to put food on the table or take care of our kids or put our kids through college or whatever those things were. And yes, we made those sacrifices. But when we get to be older, it's like, why shouldn't I be having fun? Why shouldn't I be doing something that brings me joy? And what you're speaking to me sounds like what I consider to be a limitless mindset.
No. It's a great way to put it.
I feel like reinvention rebels have a mindset like that anything is possible. That who cares if there are rules? I can defy the rules. Rules for whom?
Yeah. And you know, when you're getting older, it's very important to still have things to look forward to, which is a lot of what happens to older people when they get depressed, is that they don't feel like they have anything to look forward to. So how can you find something that you're still passionate about that you can look forward to studying or learning about, or new friends, or what, or a new work kind of life, whatever it is, but something to look forward to. That's why, again, I really, really think having a personal vision and mission is so important.
I really think so, because I think that if we can do that, and then we're really clear about this is what's important to me, then I can figure out how I can find it. Right? I can go to my guides on the side and say, exactly, this is my mission. This is what I want to do. I think about my mom, who's now 88, and she's always been interested in traveling, and she went on many trips with Rhodes Scholars, which is, you know, an organization where they plans all these trips for older people, and had a blast, met new people, you know, formed these friendships with people she's gone to visit, or they've then traveled together on other trips.
Exactly. And for those of you that don't know Wendy's mother, let me tell you, she's a pick. And she is really aging gracefully. I will say that about her.
Yeah, she is. She's very sharp and spry at 88 years young, which I hope to be the same way. But it goes back to what you're saying, though. Again, this idea of intentionality, of, you know, finding people who have similar interests, people that will stimulate you, stimulating your brain, staying active in interesting ways.
Yes.
All those things make such a difference.
I still have so many things I want to do in my life. So do you want to hear what my latest shortened version of my mission is?
Of course. Yes, 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 please.
And so I'm saying it to tell you and people who are listening, but also to help people understand how it might not be difficult to develop your mission. And you can just get it down to the essentials. So right now, what I say is, who I am is someone who is authentic, empathic, positive, and challenging. My gift is insight and intuition. My purpose is to help people develop and evolve. And I look at that all the time. I have it up in my office right on my board so that I can look at it.
Yeah. And I think that's ultimately what it is. Like, whatever it is we write has to really, right, awaken something in us and inspire us. And just knowing you, of course, I know you, so I can see how that's so fitting for you. But this idea of helping people evolve, I think, is really powerful. Hey, amazing listeners. Want to have Reinvention Rebels inspiration delivered to your inbox? Head over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes. This idea of being unapologetic as we age, like, you know, some people are just have always had a strong voice and vocalized whatever from, I don't know, when they were 10 and never stopped, right?
Yeah.
Right. Just like anything, right? There are people that have always been just really clear and they don't care what anybody thinks and they're just going to tell you in whatever way to do that. And then, but I think for a lot of women, because I think women have been socialized to apologize about all kinds of stuff.
Oh my God. Yes.
Right. I mean, we could spend an hour talking about all of that.
Right.
And so I think there's something to getting really comfortable to feel more unapologetic. And I'm really curious as to what you might tell younger women that are listening who, you know, we've all spent a lot of time in our younger years trying to find ourselves and, you know, figure this thing out called life, which is so complicated. And, you know, even more so today, right? Even more so than when we were growing up, you know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't, you know, it was just, I don't know, it just seemed like it was simpler. Yep. And now it seems very complex. So what, you know, advice or words of encouragement do you have for younger listeners or anybody really?
Yeah, about? Or anybody. So I think what we talked about before, I would like to stress again, and that's all about how can you help yourself become more resilient? And also, if you remember what I, you know, with thinking about things are just a picture in time, meaning that they always change. And I'd say use all the resilience exercises and practices that you can, some of the things that we've talked about this evening, try them on and see what sticks for you. You know, having a gratefulness journal may not be the way that you can do it. There may be other ways that you can do it, but there are ways. And I'd say study emotional intelligence and learn it inside and out. That includes a lot of different kinds of mastery, but the one we're talking about right now is particularly self-mastery. I think that's really, really important. Another thing that I work a lot with clients on that I think is very important is to understand what your communication style is. And the fact that we all have different communication styles, and a lot of times we get frustrated because we may speak to someone who doesn't seem to be apologetic at all. And it's like, well, why are they so direct? I mean, are they just not like a nice person? And maybe they are, and they just have a very different style. So to begin to learn that and learn how you can flex your own communication style to help people with you to have more effective conversations, for you to have more tolerance and more resilience. Those are some of the things that I would say.
Yeah. And I think that's so interesting what you just said about what is it I can do? It's not just the other person.
Yes. Yes.
But how can I be part of the solution? And I think, and this idea of having more tolerance,
right,
which these days, you know, people seem to be short on. We won't even bother to go into that, for whatever reason, right? Yeah. For any number of reasons. Yeah. And I think that if we can be more open, if we can be more tolerant in whatever situation, it'd be tolerance with our family, you know, over right. family disagreements. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be like big world issues. It could exactly. be like just starting right inside. Because I think too that, you know, as we age, we often tend to be more set in our ways. And then often sometimes we can have dissension in families when it gets to like caring for a parent, where those communication styles you're talking about sometimes can come into conflict. And if we don't have that self-mastery or that self-awareness, mm-hmm. it's just harder to navigate.
It really is. And again, it's not all a rosy picture, and I don't mean to paint it.
Not at all.
Not being a Pollyanna at all, it's really important that you acknowledge your feelings. And when you're feeling bad, when you're feeling anxious, then just sit and think about what it is that's bothering you. Identify it. Let yourself be. Ask yourself questions about it. And then try to realize that the picture changes, that it's going to change. And stay calm, which is something that you knew me from way back that you probably laugh at me saying. I'm anything but a calm person, is you, but I'm much calmer now. I may not ever be the model for calmness, but for me, I have really calmed down from trying to put all these pieces that we've been talking about together. You know, life can interrupt your career and your plans, but stick with your passions and your natural talents. Explore them. Know yourself. Learn about yourself.
That is such a path to reinvention. I really feel like, you know, at any age and any stage is what I always say, we can reinvent ourselves. And this is, you're such a great example of this, because one of the things that, you know, you talked about from the beginning, and I like this thread that you sort of woven through our conversation, Barbara, you know, first you went and you did this aptitude testing and you found out about this, about healthcare. And I love how that's taken many different forms and that it's come to a place where it's something that you are so passionate about. Mm-hmm. So I see how things can take different forms, even if it's still the same thing we might be good at. Doesn't mean we always like it, but you mm-hmm. have now the self-mastery. And I think that that calmness that you talk about is so key, because I feel like I've become much more calm. I mean, I was always kind of calm, mm-hmm. but I think through meditation, being much more grounded, I am able to respond instead of react.
Very good. I mean, that's great. Just
not always, of course.
Yeah, not always. I mean, things happen in the moment and you're not going right. to be perfect, right? But having that consciousness of being responsive rather than reactive is just an amazing growth.
Yeah, that is. That yeah. And I think that combined with this idea you just mentioned about feeling, mm-hmm. how we can, you know, learn how to feel into what's going on and say, I don't feel good about this right now, but that's okay. Like mm-hmm. I've learned to really just kind of sit with these feelings of sometimes feeling sad about something, but reminding myself that's okay. It's okay to feel sad. And every moment in life clearly is not all happy and, you know, balloons and champagne or something.
Well, here's the thing. If everything was happy all the time, then you'd never know it was happy, because you'd have nothing to measure not being happy. Yeah. So you have to have the ups and downs. That's just part of nature.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's that full circle. It goes back to the gratitude then that we can then appreciate our lives so much more, right? Because, you know, if we have those ups and downs, then when we're down, we can appreciate, oh, you know, here are all the other good things that are yeah. going on.
And sometimes it's really hard. You're feeling really down and you ask yourself, what am I grateful for right now? Oh no, I can't think of anything because I'm feeling so bad. Okay, let me think a little harder. You know, what am I looking forward to? And don't forget that. What am I looking forward to? You know, like forward thinking is also a big, big part of reinvention, I believe. You know, not necessarily living in the past, but really thinking about the current, the present, being in the present, and thinking about the future. And then how can you close that gap between where you are right now and whatever little thing you might want to do, or whatever big thing you want to do, how can you get there? So that's thinking about your future, no matter how old you are.
Forward thinking from a reinvention rebel. I love that. So I want to wrap up and think and have you just recap the three things that you talked. I thought those three things you mentioned were so powerful. And I know one was, what am I grateful for?
Mm-hmm. What am I looking forward to today? What am I looking forward to today? And then that really, at least hard-ass question for me, which is, what am I letting go of?
That is so powerful. And so that's a hard one. That can be a hard one.
That's a hard one.
Because it's hard sometimes to let go of fear or anger or
even a conversation that you had with someone that you're in. Yeah. So that's anger. So you're mad at somebody because you had this conversation or whatever, you know?
Yes. You know, or, you know, I had a conversation with someone, and this happens so often that after you're done, you're like, you know, I should have said X.
Yeah.
And then you ruminating. Go, I spend, right? Ruminating.
Yes.
I can spend a lot of time ruminating.
Oh, I have spent a lot of time ruminating, keeping me up at night ruminating.
Oh, totally and completely. Totally yep. and completely. And yeah. I just think that women generally, I think we tend to be in our heads a lot.
Yes.
And so, and not that men don't ruminate on things also, but I certainly think that women spend a lot of time doing that.
Yes. I think that's very true. It's hard because we really need to learn how to still be those nice, sensitive people, but also build up a shell of, and I'll call it resilience, but some kind of armor of strength where you can be direct when you have to be, where you can be unapologetic when you need to be, and walk away even knowing that it's going to make you feel bad because you're a nice person, but you took care of yourself in it, and it'll make it better.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you summed that up so beautifully, because I think so much of what we talked about was really self-care.
Yes.
How do I take care of myself as I age? How can I be my best self? How can I be more resilient, as you said? And to me, that's everything about aging with attitude, aging enthusiastically and vibrantly, feeling like I'm leading my best life.
Yeah.
And what a difference that makes.
And if I'm not living my best life, what will I do tomorrow to make it better?
Yes. Yeah. What small step can I take? I love those three steps. I'm going to pull those out in the show notes.
Okay.
And this was just such an awesome conversation, Barbara. So inspiring about things we can do. Like actually steps we actually can take as we're working on becoming a reinvention rebel or refining our rebelness or something like that, right? That we can always, in the spirit of continuous improvement, always be working on things.
You can always be, you know, live your best, most extraordinary life. If that means doing something that helps others live theirs, then do what resonates for you. Remember to go back to figuring out what your natural aptitudes. You don't have to go to Johnson O'Connor to figure that out, because now we have, we're wired. You can just go into Google and find a test to take.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You can do all that. You can do that.
I love that. So some of our listeners may be interested in knowing Barbara's inspiring. Where can I find Barbara? Are there places they can find you on social media?
Certainly. So my website is www.BarbaraHealyAssociates, and it's spelled H-E-A-L-Y. People get confused with the E and the Y. And I am on Facebook, and I am on LinkedIn. And so I'll just kind of leave it at that right now. Yeah.
Perfect. That's great. And I'll put all that in the show notes.
So good. People
can reach out and find you.
Good. And I'd love to talk to anybody who wants to talk a little more about this. So please feel free.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. So simple ways that you can reach out to Barbara and get more of this, this inspiration about reinvention and resilience and aging vibrantly. And this just this fantastic story of how Barbara has reinvented herself multiple times over and continues to do so with the idea that we can do that at any age or any stage.
Yes, any age and any stage.
I cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Reinvention Ripples podcast today. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did and found it interesting, insightful, and inspiring. I've got a small favor to ask. If you love this, would you do me a favor and share a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts via your phone or iPad, and share what you loved about it? Do you know that it makes it easier for people to find the Reinvention Ripples podcast when I get more reviews? And don't you think it's an awesome idea to make this kind of inspiration easier to find for our listeners? So thanks in advance for your time, your words, and your review. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to see you on the next episode. Talk soon. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help. As your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast, I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.